Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Warren. Welcome to Spectrum. We have a couple of guests this week that are going to talk about some interesting subjects, one of which is one of our guests has just recently returned from Beijing, and we're going to talk about why he was there. We have Ross Murray, and we have Christine Liu. They're both here from GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, which is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, who many people have come to know over the years as sort of the watchdog group that keeps an eye on media and calls to task anybody who says anything untoward about members of the LGBT community. Usually on our shows, Christine and Ross, we like to get to know the people we're talking to a little bit, a little backstory. So we'll start with you, Christine.
Hi.
What's your family background and your interests to get to know you a little better?
Family background, I'm full Chinese, and I'm first generation in America. So my mom actually immigrated here back in the 70s, I think, from Shanghai, China. And I was also born in Shanghai, China, moved here when I was very, very young. So I speak both languages fairly fluently. And my interests are social justice, activism, all of that stuff, and entertainment. So GLAAD was kind of a fuse of a perfect thing for me. And this is my first job out of college. So,
Speaking of college, what did you study and where did you go?
I studied communication studies as well as French, so double major, because I want to be trilingual. And I went to Chapman University over in Orange County, California. So I was out there for 4 years before coming back, but raised in New York. So now I'm back.
Well, our next guest is Ross Murray. Ross, give us a little bit of your backstory.
Sure. I'm originally from Minnesota and grew up way northern Minnesota, the border of Canada, in a little house way out in the woods. And now I live in New York, which is like the opposite of that. My background work is actually in religion. And LGBT work sort of got layered on top of that. And so my work at GLAAD has been to work with religion and LGBT issues and LGBT-affirming religious communities. And now I've got two programs that I direct. One is focused on the U.S. South, and the other one is focused globally. So this recent trip to Beijing was part of the global program. But the two programs both talk about how we can accelerate acceptance for the LGBT community.
So when you mention religion, are you talking about religion from an academic perspective or from a pastoral perspective?
Really both. For me, it's important to kind of have both of those together. I went to seminary. I know a lot of my work has been a side project where I run a like LGBT church camp for teenagers. So it's very pastoral approach, but I want to make sure that it's really infused with what I would call good, solid Orthodox theology too.
All right, let's get to your trip to Beijing. And I know that Christine helped a little bit get you going and did some of the back work on your trip to Beijing. But tell me exactly what was happening in Beijing. Why did GLAAD get involved, and where did you go from there?
Sure. It actually started about a year ago on the International Human Rights Day, which is on December 10th. There was a convening of global LGBT leaders that was happening here in New York City. And several world LGBT leaders were speakers. And one of those speakers was a man named Shou Gangwei. And he talked to me about his work in Beijing with an organization called the Beijing Gender Health Education Institute and with a group called Queer Comrades. And he said they have they've instituted over the last 5 years the Chinese Rainbow Media Awards, which recognizes some of the best, most positive, inclusive LGBT news stories from the last year. And as I talked to some of my colleagues at GLAAD, the people that run the GLAAD Media Awards said, oh, I remember having a conversation with some Chinese leaders several years ago about them wanting to set up a media awards. And so this has been in place for, I think this is the sixth one that they had this year. The first time that GLAAD got to be present and be a part of the awards ceremony where they were giving these awards to journalists, television and newspaper and internet and English language, and honoring a person of the year. So it was really cool to kind of be present and see the work that we do at GLAAD to try to recognize that fair and inclusive media representation of LGBT people and see what that looks like for people in China that are doing that same work.
So, Christine, when you found out that there was going to be some sort of an initiative involving China, you must have been very excited.
So excited.
And,
very excited.
Me how you you were like first in line to say, you know, I volunteer, what can I do?
Well, Ross was the one who told me about it briefly around the holidays. And I was like, just let me know what I can do to help. I would literally do anything to make the whole Chinese community become more aware about what's happening in the world, not just in China. So yeah, whatever Ross needed, I was just there. I was going to help him.
Ross, what was your previous experience with China or working with Chinese people?
I really hadn't had much before then. Been working with some individual leaders. Shougang really gave me kind of an initial sort of look at what the LGBT movement in China was like. And then what happened since then, last summer in June, GLAAD got involved and I got involved with a contest that was taking place in China. Alibaba, the online retailer, sponsored a contest for same-sex couples to submit a video sharing their love story. And several people did, and people voted on the website, on the Alibaba website, for, you know, what was their favorite love story. Ten couples won that, and they won a destination wedding to Los Angeles. And we got connected through some GLAAD contacts and people that were organizing things on the U.S. side of that. And so when they came to Los Angeles, it ended up being seven couples that could actually get visas and arrived. They had a weekend filled with like Universal Studios and a spa and a vineyard and getting to be tourists, which was great. And then they had a wedding at West Hollywood City Hall, and they were married by Lindsay Horvath, the mayor of West Hollywood. And so I was involved with trying to help U.S. and LGBT and international media cover that story as well. I wanted business outlets to examine why Alibaba, a major Chinese company, would want to sponsor a contest that featured same-sex couples. I wanted outlets like, you know, BuzzFeed and those can share videos to have photos and videos of this wedding, of this weekend. The organizers were also filming them as they went through this weekend. And then later on in the fall, we invited one of the couples to come back to a GLAAD event. And Christine worked with work with that couple while we shared a video of their story on stage. And they got to talk to the audience about what that experience looked like for them. So this was a really great follow-up. And I will say, one of the stories, one of the Chinese outlets that covered that story was one of the winners of the Rainbow Media Awards as well.
So I'm presuming that the people at Alibaba are no dummies, and they also felt that there would be some positive vibe from the community for this type of outreach and this type of exposure, which probably played very well to them. Tell me, Ross, or actually either one of you, from your perspective, what is the state of conversation on LGBT issues in China today? And I don't expect you to be world experts on this, but from from obviously you've been turning some pages in the past couple of months or so to put this project together and to get involved with it. So you must have some thumbnail sketch of what is the state of the conversation currently in China.
Well, most of the, I actually, like he said, at the event last November in SF Gala, our San Francisco Gala, I worked with the Chinese couple really closely, and we actually went out for dinner, and that dinner was filled with conversation about what's happening in China. So they're very socially aware, and they did tell me in the bigger cities like Shanghai, where they're from, as well as Beijing, and perhaps Guangzhou, like, they're all very becoming more liberal. Like, it's not as conservative as the rural areas of China. So a lot of discrimination isn't very vibrant over there. Obviously, there are still, you know, backhanded comments and just like softer things, that's more subtle comments that they would get. But overall, they're able to put the rainbow flag outside of their window and not get eggs thrown in. You know what I mean? So like, it's in the bigger cities, it's more liberal and they're more accepting. But there's, China is filled with tradition. And part of, unfortunately, tradition, LGBT issues isn't part of that tradition. So it's still going to be a ways away until it becomes more like America or even UK, where most people are accepting. Yeah.
I think what I found was that there's unlike what we see in the United States or in other countries, there's not a really organized anti-LGBT movement, you know, that's opposing. What there is a tradition, and it's going to take time for that tradition, that culture to talk about how it embraces and accepts LGBT people. And I think that's what people are working on. The stories that I've seen, those couples that got married, had the wedding, there was another video that went viral about a boyfriend proposing to his boyfriend on a subway train car that got really, really popular. I think there's an interest in LGBT people. I think the part of the tradition and part of the culture is sort of still, what does that mean for my family? What's that going to mean for our line? Is that what's it going to do? And I think those are the things that people are working on and to overcome those fears to kind of get to a place of acceptance.
Would you have any notion about if someone, let's say an LGBT couple from the United States, wants to go to China to work or to go to school, what they might expect or what changes they might want to observe when they go there? Are there any rules, written or unwritten, about if you are LGBT man or woman and you go to China, what you can and cannot do?
I haven't seen a lot of that from some of the folks that were there, and there was a small handful of like Western folks that were at this media awards that I got to talk to, and often they were part of, you know, diplomatic community or, you know, part of like kind of international groups. So they had a very good awareness of what the culture was and how they were going to live and move and function within that culture. There's LGBT people everywhere, in the big city and in the small towns. In the big city, sometimes it's easier to find a community of LGBT people around you. There's perhaps clubs or bars or churches or whatever, communities where people can sort of gather together. And I think in smaller towns, it's easier probably to feel somewhat isolated. But I do think that the nice thing is that things like the internet has made finding that community a little bit easier. And I know, you know, there's Chinese social media is different than what we have in the United States. But even within that, people have found particular communities. One thing that I found, I mentioned to Christine, was there's a gay app called Blued that is in China. And they were a sponsor of the Media Awards. And they uploaded the video of the awards program, which was a 3-hour long video. And maybe 2-3 hours after the program ended, Shogang showed me and said, over 110,000 people have watched this video already, or at least have started watching this video already. So it's something that people wanted to see, something that they were interested in, seeing what was going on. And that helped people sort of get access to realize I'm not alone. I'm not as isolated as perhaps I might feel, even if I live in this small town.
We will mention the information access again, but while we'll take a quick stop here to you've done an extensive blog on this event and on the awards, and you've got a nice photo collection about it. Just tell our listeners where they can go on the GLAAD site to find the information about this event in Beijing.
Sure. This information is available at glaad.org. That's GLAAD.org. And there is, if you click on the blog, which is sort of the bottom half of the page, I think those 6 or 8 stories kind of end up being at the top. Right now on the homepage, the Chinese story is still there. That might fall down in the next couple days. But if you click on the blog and say, read more here, or if you do a search in there that talks about Chinese Rainbow Media Awards, you'll be able to pull up the story from there that talks about what we've been able to do.
We have unfortunately run out of time for this week's edition of Spectrum, but I'd like to invite our special guests, Ross Murray and Christine Liu from GLAAD, to come back and continue the story about the exciting awards, the Rainbow Media Awards that were held in Beijing recently.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.